Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Is it better to rent or to buy? Let's talk to Alex Gailey, a Bankrate data analyst, to see what the numbers show in 50 biggest metros in the United States. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you for having me here.
I was always taught as a kid, and I tried to pass a message along to my kid, to buy as little car as you get by with, but something good, dependable. You know, you don't want to have a clunker, but to really put the money into the house if you can, because you'll get that back. Am I off base there? Have things changed? Tell me what the numbers show.
I don't think you're completely off base there. I still think that the long-term benefits of owning still are there, but the reality is that the barriers to enter homeownership have risen so much so that the math has just completely changed, especially in the last few years. I mean, if you looked at about a decade ago and did the math, you would find that in most parts of the country, it was actually pretty comparable, that monthly payment, if you looked at your mortgage and compared it to rent. Nowadays, we're not seeing that. And so what we found in our data is that in the 50 largest metros, that monthly mortgage payment is a lot higher than rent. And this is, of course, more of a short-term take, but it's important to note because, a lot of people do want to own homes, but they're just facing these high home prices. They're facing these high mortgage rates, and it is harder to break into.
So it's not as much about long-term strategy, if I'm hearing you correctly. It's about what you can feasibly do at the moment.
Yeah, I think we have to take into account the reality that we're living in, which is that a lot of Americans still want to become homeowners, but unfortunately they are being priced out, or that it is taking longer for them to save for that down payment. And that is really just because if you look over the last 5 years, home prices have risen 40-50% across the country. We had those low mortgage rates during COVID, but then around 2022, we saw those mortgage rates jump up, and they've really stayed elevated around 6%. And then we can't ignore the fact that we've been in a supply crunch for a long time now, really since the Great Recession. We haven't been building enough homes. And so you combine all these things and you have a housing market really broadly across the country that is difficult for people to break into. Of course, real estate is local and it is going to be easier in parts of the South and parts of the Midwest, and even we're seeing now parts of the West where home prices have come down, and it's going to be a little easier to buy in certain parts of the country, of course.
One thing that I always wondered about was it seems as though people have X amount to pay for housing, and if the interest rates go down, well, then for whatever reason, the price of the house goes up. If the interest rates go up, then the price of the house goes down. Either way, people are still out of pocket the same amount. Am I wrong there or not?
No, you're not complete. You're not wrong there. I mean, certainly when mortgage rates fall, demand does tend to go up. And I would say generally this past year, the housing market has seen somewhat of a cooling or stagnation just because of the continued high home prices, of the continued high mortgage rates. And a lot of markets have kind of shifted more in favor of buyers. And some markets are even seeing some home prices fall. But I would say, though, that generally, you know, it's not enough to make buying truly affordable again. I describe it as the housing market as a whole just being a little bit more favorable for mm-hmm. buyers than maybe it was a year or two ago. And you also have to look at the rent side of this. You know, rent growth has certainly cooled across the country. There are places where you're maybe seeing very modest price growth in terms of rent, or you're not really seeing it at all. And so, again, buying in the long term is a very smart financial decision. Again, very broadly speaking here, but in the short term, Americans just feel very crunched to be able to enter homeownership.
Somebody texted in here, and I don't know if this is in your wheelhouse or not, Alex, but they said they were 20 years old, 20-something in the 70s, and bought a house, and it was at 13.5%. And they're wondering how people could afford to buy a house at 13.5% interest, but they can't afford to buy it at 7% interest.
Well, I think that's only taking part of the equation into account. You have to take in home price. So I'd be curious to know what they bought that home at in terms of price. But I will say that it's interesting that you bring up that they were 20 years old, because we recently saw with data that the median age of first-time home buyers hit an all-time high of 40, and that is up from 38. Last year. So we are seeing that median age for a first-time homebuyer is going up. And I think a lot of it, we can blame the housing affordability crisis for that. And, you know, again, people still want to buy homes, but they're just doing it a lot later in life than historically speaking.
Where did this affordability crisis come? Is there a tipping point where we can come to where look back and see where it changed?
I think certainly the 2022 mark, that was a big time where things really shifted. When you look at back when mortgage rates were really low during the pandemic, demand really spiked at that point because you had these historically low mortgage rates and people wanted to get in the market. And again, we've really not been building since the Great Recession. And so supply was already constrained. And so you saw these insane bidding wars, people just, you know, passing up, they weren't doing their inspections, they were doing anything to get the house. And 2022 is really when we started to see the housing affordability crisis get worse, because then we saw home prices not only rising at the rate they were, but also mortgage rates then really went up significantly. And so combine those two things, and then also just in the background, knowing supply is already constrained, and then you kind of end up where we are today.
I want to ask you about the housing bubble when we come back and the effect that had. We're talking to Alex Gailey, a Bankrate data analyst. Text me at 504-260-1870. What do you tell your kids? What did your parents tell you? Is it better to rent or buy? And if you have kids, grown kids, are they able to buy a home, or did you have to help them out? And if you are a grown kid, did you buy a home? At what age did you buy a home? Are you trying to get into the market? Is it just too tough? I'd like to hear your story at 504-260-1870, 720, traffic now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Alex Gailey, Bankrate data analyst, about renting as opposed to buying in the 50 biggest metro areas. I had a question, Alex, about the 2008 housing bubble, the crash. Did that necessarily leave a bad taste in people's mouths when, in fact, they were kind of being approved for mortgages that they never should have had in the first place?
Well, we know that was the housing bubble was the primary cause of the Great Recession, and a lot of people really suffered from that recession. And certainly after the recession, there was a lot of stalling when it came to wanting to build homes and to, keep, you know, builders just were feeling uneasy about that. And so really, it's when you think about the housing supply constraint today, it is connected to the Great Recession. And, you know, of course, people are wondering, you know, are we in a housing bubble now? And industry experts overwhelmingly agree that we're not, and that a crash is unlikely in the near future. You know, while home prices are high and affordability is a major challenge, the current conditions are structurally different now than they were back then. And we have much stricter lending standards, and we just have a fundamental lack of housing supply.
So why the fundamental lack of supply? That's what I'm trying to get at my mind around. What, if there's, is there not the demand for that? Because if there's a lack of supply, you would think there'd be the demand. So why aren't people building homes, or is it because nobody can afford them?
Yeah, that's a great, I mean, it's a great point. A lot of it is tied to policy and how easy it is to build homes. It's really been hindered since the Great Recession due to a labor shortage, just increased material costs, tighter lending standards, and just broader consolidation in the home building industry. But certainly, I would say policy, local policy, has not made it easy to build. Depending on where you live, there are certainly parts of the country where zoning and regulation, there's a lot of red tape around being able to build more homes. So that's also part of this equation as well.
So if I were to make you the housing czar, how would you fix it?
I'm sorry?
If I were to make you the housing czar, how would you fix it?
I don't know if I'm the best person to answer that. I'm not a policy expert at the end of the day, but I have heard from economists and experts that I've spoken to about this topic is that really the biggest solution to a lot of this is building more homes and building more affordable homes specifically. And then in addition to that, building different types of homes. So, you know, nowadays, you know, there are lots of different ways that you can build homes, whether it's like multi-units or multi-family units, and just making those types of homes affordable to the general American public. That's really important too, because we see a lot of builds that are happening across the country that are for higher income earners, luxury standard. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also important that we're doing housing for all types of Americans at different income levels.
Yeah, somebody texted in and said nobody wants a starter home anymore, but maybe they're not building starter homes at 1,200 to 1,600 square feet.
Yeah, that starter homes, the lack of starter homes in our supply is certainly certainly a big barrier for a lot of Americans. And maybe it's also changing a little bit of our mindset around what is a starter home. Mm-hmm. Maybe it isn't the typical single family home anymore. Maybe it is more of an apartment, a condo, a townhouse, multi-unit type of building.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate your time and your insights. Alex Gailey, Bankrate Data Analyst. When we come back, we're going to talk to Peyton Malone and talk about the visibility of the Northern Lights, believe it or not, here in this area at sunset tonight. We'll find out more about that. Then we'll talk to Dr. Fred Lopez about a measles outbreak. So a lot coming up. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWL. You can text me 504-260-1870, our top of the mind survey. What's your lucky charm? Just don't overthink it. Just tell me. First thing pops to your mind, what is it that's a lucky charm for you? Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. All right, 7:39. Peyton Malone joins us now, WWL Louisiana weather forecaster, to talk about the Northern Lights. How you doing, Peyton?
Doing a little space forecast.
Man, let me tell you, one of my bucket list items has been to see the Northern Lights, and I didn't know if I'd ever get to see them, but now it seems like they're coming to me. That's awesome. Tell me what's going on.
Well, the sun's been really active. It's had these CMEs, or coronal mass ejections. That's just highly charged particles being sent out from the sun racing towards Earth. And what's been interesting is we've had three in the past couple of days, and so we've had three separate solar storms moving at the Earth. The first two seem to have arrived last night, which is why we did see some of the Northern Lights all the way down here on the Gulf Coast. That third solar storm is expected to arrive at some point today, and if we can time it out just right and get everything just right, we may have another opportunity to see them later on this evening.
What would be the best time and the best way for us to see the Northern Lights here?
Well, the timing is a bit tricky because sometimes you don't know what's happening until it's actually happening, mm-hmm. but it would be after sunset. So after probably 6 p.m. would be the best shot tonight, and the best place to see it would be away from the city lights. So if you can get far up on the North Shore, you have a much better chance of seeing it. You just have to look north. Now, a lot of times it's fairly weak down here, and I mean, this is super rare down here. And mm-hmm. so you, a lot of times we'll have your long exposure on your phone camera. We'll be able to capture that red hue, but if it's strong enough, like it was last night, it'd get some reports that some people saw it with the naked eye up on the North Shore.
So we would see what exactly? Like a
red hue on the horizon is what it would look like down here, and it would be red in this instance. Further north, you start to get some of those greens and purples, and you can actually see it moving through the sky like ribbons. Down here, it's just that red hue on the horizon.
How further north?
Well, to see the big stuff, like in the central U.S., I mean, you go up into parts of, I mean, you get into Arkansas, Missouri, you could see it with.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
The naked eye last night, but up into the Dakotas last night. I mean, it was incredible.
I don't think I have time to get there now. But
no, you don't.
No. Thank you, Peyton. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
It would be something to see. Even if you can just see a reddish hue, that would be something. Thank you, sir.
Happy Aurora hunting.
There you go. Peyton Malone, WWR Louisiana Weather, Louisiana East Channel 4 Weather Forecaster. 7:41, 19 till 8. We'll talk about the measles when we come back with Dr. Fred Lopez here on WWL. 7:46, 14 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, quickly to Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. How you doing, Dr. Fred?
Good morning, Tommy.
Tell me about what's going on with the measles here in Louisiana.
Well, as many people have heard, the third measles case was reported in Louisiana just recently. This is in addition to 3 last year. This person apparently went on an international journey, and nobody knows where, but likely was unvaccinated and came back with the measles and may have exposed some people at the airport in New Orleans.
So how do you go back and track this? You find out who has the measles, then the doctor diagnoses them with measles. They report it to the health department. Then the health department starts checking back to see where'd you go, what did you do, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's essentially it. The issue with measles is it's just so contagious. It's, you know, the estimate is that if you're not immune to the measles because you've not been vaccinated, because you've not had measles in the past, if you're around somebody with measles, 90% of people who don't have that immunity are going to develop the measles. So it's really contagious. And the virus can stay in the air for up to 2 hours after the person who's infected with measles has left a room or a or any area, and that makes it particularly contagious to people who don't have immunity against measles. So this is it's a public health issue, and I'm glad the health department has made an announcement about this individual so that if people have the potential for exposure, they can reach out to their healthcare provider and confirm that they've been vaccinated and are not going to develop measles if they've been exposed.
I was watching an old TV show the other day, and they were talking about the measles, and they were placing them under, they said, have you ever had the measles? No, well, you got them now, and they placed them under quarantine. Who is it that's immune to the measles at this point, doctor?
Well, it's anybody who's gotten the vaccine. It's a universally recommended vaccine. You're supposed to get it at 12 to 15 months of age, and then at 4 to 6 years of age. 93% protection with just one dose, 97% protective with two doses. So it's extremely effective vaccine. So if you've been vaccinated, you're immune to measles. Very few people are going to develop measles have been vaccinated. And even if you do develop measles after being vaccinated, the disease is much more likely to be milder in terms of its presentation and complications. Measles, you know, people just kind of disregard it because we don't see many cases any longer. But it does have complications. Diarrhea, ear infections are common ones, but the more severe ones might result in hospitalization, pneumonia, brain swelling, and about 1 to 3 out of every 1,000 people who develop measles will die from measles. And so this is a big concern. This year, more than 1,600 cases reported in the United States, the most since the year 2000 when measles was declared eliminated from the U.S. And many people may have seen just recently that Canada is no longer under the measles elimination category. They've had more than 5,000 cases in Canada this year, and it is no longer considered eliminated from Canada. So hopefully that will not happen here in the United States, but it's all about vaccination, and that's really what we need to promote because our vaccination rates have decreased, particularly during the era of COVID.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking about measles with Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases, LSU Health New Orleans, 750, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:57, 3 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine, section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. A person with a case of contagious measles passed through Louis Armstrong Airport on Sunday. The health department checked that back to find that out. And now they're warning people if you were, I guess, Dr. Fred, who should be on the lookout for symptoms? How close would they have had to be and how contagious is measles?
Well, it's extremely contagious. As I mentioned, that if you're not immune to measles and you're around somebody who has measles, so let's say we take 10 people who are not immune, they're around somebody who's infected with measles, 9 out of those 10 people will develop the measles. So extremely contagious. And what makes it even more concerning is that the virus can stay in the air for up to 2 hours after that person has left a particular contained area, making it extremely likely that somebody who doesn't have immunity against measles is going to get infected. So anybody who may have been exposed to this individual should definitely reach out to their healthcare provider for further directions regarding whether they've been vaccinated appropriately or whether they need to be vaccinated or receive another intervention which can also protect them from developing the measles, which is the administration of immune globulin. So vaccine and immune globulin are protective measures for people who are not immune but who have been exposed to measles.
The measles are viral, not bacterial, so there's really nothing they can do once you get them, is there?
You're absolutely right, Tommy. It's primarily supportive care, getting people through the illness. And as I mentioned, because we don't see measles much anymore, people forget that this is a potentially deadly infection. 1 to 3 people out of every 1,000 who get infected with measles will die. And this used to be a much more common disease before 1963 when the advent of measles vaccine occurred in the United States. But prior to that time, 400 to 500 people died in the United States from measles each year.
Somebody wants to know, if you have measles, can you get the vaccine or is it too late?
If you have measles, probably too late to get the vaccine, although because then you're going to be immune after you get the measles. So having had the measles makes you immune thereafter, but too late. You want to reach out to your healthcare provider to see before you develop symptoms if you can get the vaccine or that immune globulin that I mentioned.
Thank you, Doc. I appreciate the information as always. Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. We'll take a deep dive into crime when we come back with Ronald Serpas, as we always do on Wednesday morning. I also got our top of mind survey going, which is, what's a lucky charm? What do you consider your lucky charm? I'm getting some things in like horseshoes, lucky dice, casino chips, and rainbows. Text me, 504-260-1870. I'll tell you what the consensus is in the 9 o'clock hour.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief, yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.